Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Mouse Manners and More podcast. Looks like the gang's all here. It's Nathan. We've got Hannah, Morgan, Todd, Kristen, and Becky here today.
Hello.
Hello.
Hola.
Today, our episode is going to end our series on thrill rides. We're going to go around the room and see what our favorite thrill rides are, get some perspective on it. But I think before we start, there's been a lot of news that's been out this week. And it all kind of pertains a little bit to RFID and the next gen. So I know you've been looking at it a little bit, Todd. So I don't know if you
got a little bit. I mean, some few things. Let's talk about Wi-Fi in the Magic Kingdom as well. I know that's the next big thing that, you know, introducing Wi-Fi to the parks. You know, Wi-Fi has been slowly introducing those into the resorts, the free Wi-Fi. So it's now living into the parks and just recently come out, and you know, at Magic Kingdom, so, and that kind of ties in with their new app that Disney released, the My Disney Experience app.
And that kind of goes into, like, the next gen, because they usually had all of the Wi-Fi at the resorts anyway, right? So you could use the Wi-Fi, especially in DVC, that used to be one of the perks. If you were a DVC member, you had Wi-Fi when you were in the rooms, right?
Supposedly.
Now it's like everybody in the world has Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I mean, all the restaurants, I mean, not all, but a lot of restaurants, you know, do.
I heard on another podcast, I can't remember what it was, they actually did test some of the speeds out in the Magic Kingdom, and they were pretty high, so it looks like they actually put a pretty decent system in there to support it.
I think, you know, it could be a challenge if you happen to, you know, have 40, 50,000, you know, people on a, you know, average day. No, not, you know, not all that. Everybody's going to have a cell phone doing that, but, you know, trying to get onto the Wi-Fi. The volume at a theme park or, you know, some can stress the system. So it looks like they've, you know, kind of got it, you know, enough to launch it and working pretty well. So looking forward to trying it out when we go down in October.
Yeah, and hopefully, like, during, like, Christmas time or New Year's when the fireworks are going off and everybody's using Wi-Fi, it doesn't, like, dim the lights at the Magic Kingdom. And Wishes only does, like, little bitty puffs of fireworks that come up, you know. All of Orlando starts to have a gray out. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully it's better than what it is in the rooms.
It was bad in the rooms.
It's bad in the rooms.
And on our last trip in June, we went to Vero and to...
Pretty much put Todd in a foul mood the whole time.
It did put him in a foul mood the whole time.
When you get it for free, like I said, the perk, you expect it to work.
Yeah.
And so when you were... Sometimes, you know, during the later on in the day, when, you know, it seemed to work, but, you know, early in the morning, I guess people checking, even they're on vacation, you still want to check, you know, work stuff, so everybody logging on to computers, maybe checking the news, things of that nature before they head out to the parks, it was very, you know, hit-miss. About my only thing I was really disappointed in is Wi-Fi in the rooms, you know, from the DVC places that we stayed at, so... I'm sure they're, you know, trying to improve that. And still, you know, once again, it's like you have a big area and, you know, a lot of people, you know, trying to use that. So
when you were trying to check your email, was it just refreshing one letter at a time so it said, like, ta we need your help?
It wasn't quite that bad, but sometimes it worked okay and sometimes not. So,
well, let me ask you this. It kind of begs the question of, if they introduce Wi-Fi, is that kind of distracting you from being on your vacation?
Because
I know if I'm strapped down to my phone, I'm going to be checking work emails, right? Mm-hmm. And if I have a really good connection, I'm going to be sitting there strapped to it, because the age of technology now, you have your whole entire office basically on your hip. So you're checking this and you're checking that. And sometimes you see in lines where everybody has their head down. It's like everybody's saying a little prayer to, like, their iPod, you know, trying to check the news and all that stuff. So is it distracting? Is it a help? Or is it just, does it even matter, you think?
Well, I can tell you from the wife and daughter standpoint, it was very distracting, because he was seriously in a foul mood for at least 3 to 4 days. And he's typically not in a foul mood. He's the one that is telling me I'm the stick in the mud. But he was a bear. It was not pleasant to be around.
He was worse than a bear. He was like a dinosaur. With a bad attitude.
I was trying to do some stuff. Do some webcam streaming is what I was primarily trying to use that for. And by that not working, I wasn't able to do some webcam streams. And that was kind of what was bother me. And yeah, I mean, I was very kind of upset, and it did impact, I think, the vacation just a little bit. So.
A little bit, a lot.
Okay. Well, I liked it not working very much because that's what Nathan does for a living. So he wasn't able to work. So.
Yeah, and sometimes I don't like to check. You know, sometimes I like to be away from it. But I know that with data plans and stuff on phone companies, they only allow you so much data. So I guess that's nice, too.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to use your minutes and stuff like that. So if you can take advantage of Wi-Fi, you know, at any place, and it's, you know, advantageous to you to do that.
Yeah, so, but I guess that leads into the other news, which is the new app that Disney brought out, which is My Disney Experience. I've heard rumors that that's going to replace the other Verizon app that they had out there that allowed you to see park times, fast pass times, dining reservations.
Right.
But you had to be in the park to actually see those times. But I think with this app, you don't actually have to be in the park. You can, you know, take a look, and maybe if you're interested to see, if you're going to take a vacation next year and you're in the middle of July and you wanted to see what the lines were like, I guess you could go in there and take a look and see that. But also that goes into the next gen stuff. Looks like that's kind of heating up with the Wi-Fi, the new app. Mm-hmm. There was also some other things that were placed, like the Disney poles. Yeah, lack of a better term, where you could do your RFID check-in at a little radio frequency element in your card that you could go up and start paying for things, especially in the Contemporary Resort.
Right.
So, you think they're going to move to that? I mean, what do you guys think about it? I think
they are. It's just technology that's coming down the road, so I'm sure they're going to take advantage. They've been testing it and, you know, putting RFID chips in some of their, you know, souvenir cups or cups that you can...
Yeah,
that you can buy, you know, instead of, you know, bringing the cups back on your later vacation, but they can program it to, they can only be used, you know, during the length of your stay.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've done, you know, significant testing, you know, around about. So I think it's going to be full scale, you know, probably in 2013.
Yeah. Because I've seen some people that have been at resorts that had those refillable cups that had, like, Steamboat Willie on the front of it, and they're all beat up and stuff. I think they were made out of wood. And they were getting, like, their Cokes and stuff and, like, feeding it to their kid and then getting some more Cokes and all that kind of stuff. So I guess that's, I mean, that makes sense. But
I think, I mean, they can do a lot of, have a lot of, I guess, power, if you will, or if you can consider them, you know, big brother. But, you know, I think they have a lot of advantages. They can do stuff, you know, they probably track and help them plan better future, you know, rides, wait times, queues, things of that nature. Because, you know, they seem to be changing the queues a little bit, and especially with the new Fantasyland, you know, coming on, with, you know, the Dumbo queue.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, a little bit different than, you know, like I said, standing in line. So, you know, I think it opens a lot of possibilities to that. And, you know, hopefully speed up processing, you know, can make people move through the queues faster and increase their, you know, the capacity of their rides and stuff.
Yeah, and I think that too, I heard another thing where they're trying to tailor it. So when you get into the rides and stuff, you would have that RFID on your card. And then there was one rumor that I heard that on the Small World, they were thinking about you making your own doll on there. And then you'd have your little RFID card with you.
Uh-huh.
And then they would have screens when you're going through Small World that would actually have your doll interacting with, I guess, the dancing penguins or that laughing zebra or the hippo with the winking eyes or whatever. I guess it would wink at you, and then inside its eye would be your little doll. Which might be a little creepy. I'm just kidding. So what do you guys think? Do you think they're having too much control over it by bringing in RFID chips and bringing in ability to pay with your card? And then you can get into your rooms like Art of Animation where you just put your card up and it unlocks the door. Is that too much control? Is it tailoring it way too much for you? Or do you like that experience and think it's going to help out?
I mean, I think if you can control everything from your car, it's one less, you know, something less to carry around. You know, even in the parks, you want to kind of be mobile and light. And if you can have a lot of options with, you know, already you have the key to the, you know, to the world and does lots of things. But if you can, you know, incorporate that without, you know, sure, if you go do fast passes, you have to go get fast passes and keep up with them. And it's, you know, they're not very big, but, you know, if you can schedule that in the future. You schedule when you want to ride your rides on your vacation, and all that's, you know, preloaded into your card there. You know, I think that's, you know, pretty convenient.
Yeah. Well, let me get a little bit more controversial then with it. So to have the new app, to have Wi-Fi enabled, to have RFID, to allow your Disney vacation to be tailored to you, you have to have a smartphone, mm-hmm. right? Does that make a definite line with people that don't have a smartphone and people that do have a smartphone? I mean, if you don't have a smartphone, you can't take advantage of the new app. You can't take advantage of possibly XPass, mm-hmm. right? Where you can automatically do reservations for a ride or reservations for dining. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think it is, you know, advantageous, but I don't think Disney will ever cater, push a subset of people away from their parks.
You know, so they have a rent-a-phone?
I think a lot of people just assume everybody has the smartphones.
Who doesn't?
Well, a lot of people don't. I mean,
well,
like 60 and over.
Well,
yeah, my mom, she don't have a smartphone, and I don't think she does. Is this phone, and she don't have a.
Is she over 60?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
But some people don't want the smartphone.
Well, and I mean, and really, can everybody afford a smartphone? Not really.
Right. So what are they going to do about that? By not? I mean, because that looks like that's a definite separation line between people that got it, people that don't got it. I mean, the thing about Disney is, once you get there, no matter how much money you have or you don't have, everybody there is basically equivalent. I can get on the same ride, I can go to the same restaurant, mm-hmm. I can go into the same shop, I can buy whatever I want to. Yeah. And so I think that when you get in there, that's part of the magic, that's part of the design, is once you get there, we're taking care of it all, and it's tailored to you. Right. So all of this stuff is
tailored. Yeah, that's what I said. I don't think they will ever... You know, and they shouldn't ever push that away. But if you want to have this enhanced experience and you're willing to pay a little extra to experience that, then maybe, you know, that's where they're going to go with that.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, that's cool. Well, anybody else have anything they want to say? I mean, I know the girls have been talking quite a bit about this. It looks like you're pretty passionate about this issue.
Yeah.
So maybe we should take your smartphones away from you guys and see how you like it. Do a little bit of Disney experimentation with you all.
Oh, yeah. This is my wife. She said, I don't want a smartphone. No, don't ever use it. And finally, we twisted her arm and bought her a smartphone, and now I don't think she could. Could you get along without it?
I could get along without it.
But you prefer not to. Right.
You play Where's My Perry and Where's My Water all the time, right? That's not a Disney plug for apps.
That is all I have to do.
I don't really want any kind of kickback off of that Disney.
Yeah.
So
I really do have better things to do than that. But
that's all I do during the day.
Yeah.
But they talk about going back to the Disney, My Disney Experience app. I mean, it can do a lot of things. You know, got it open now. You can, you know, make dining reservations and, like I said, look at the ride times and things like that. So, you know, a little bit different than from the other one that they have.
You can plan out your day pretty easy. On the fly, too, instead of having to get to a computer or call a representative to do dining reservations, you just do it right there.
Right.
And I've seen a lot of people frustrated. Like, I've seen a lot of, and maybe this is a tip, too, is you got to do the dining reservations. And I think in an upcoming series, we're going to dive down deep into what people first time can expect. But I've seen a lot of people come up to restaurants and be completely upset, just raving mad that they can't get in.
Mm-hmm.
It's because all these other people are planning out their vacations and getting their dining reservations done early because there is limited capacity to those things. And some restaurants are, you know, they get pretty packed up pretty quickly. So an app like that would help, but make sure you make those reservations early. So
180 days out, and
at least
so.
Because our family has had to eat hot dogs and hamburgers for a week.
Oh yeah,
because we didn't make those early reservations.
I remember when we finally found those, when McDonald's was in Epcot and they had the chicken nuggets there. And it was like finding the Holy Grail. I mean, it was like the skies lit up. There was one streak of light that hit that McDonald's golden arches. We got like 50 chicken nuggets and just sat in the middle of the walkway and ate them. I mean, people were walking by us thinking that we were all crazy eating chicken nuggets, but it was great. Anyway, don't end up like that. So let's start with our main topic, which is the conclusion of our thrill series, talking about our top three thrill rides in any one of the parks. So, since the girls have been talking so much, let's start with you guys. So, Hannah, let's start out with your top three thrill rides in Walt Disney World.
Okay, so my number one would probably be Rock and Roller Coaster because of the music, and you go upside down a few times. And then number two would probably be Everest, because I have ridden in the front seat with Morgan, and she just loves the picture that we got taken. And I love just that ride. And then number three would be Tower of Terror, because you just don't know what's going to happen at all. And at all, because one time we rode it, and my dad was holding on to me, and he let go, and there was one more drop left, and I didn't know. So
that scared us.
Yeah.
Scared us both. All right, Morgan, what's yours?
My three favorites is, like, Rock and Roller Coaster is my first because it goes upside down three times, and Tower of Terror is probably my next one because you never know what's going to happen. And then probably Everest because you go backwards.
No, let's stop there because let's talk about you girls, because you didn't used to like scary rides, right? Because these are pretty thrilling. Rock and Roll Roller Coaster goes upside down. It's in the dark. It's inside. Tower of Terror, you go up and down on an elevator a whole bunch of times. And then like Everest, you're going pretty fast and you get to see the Disco Yeti. So what caused you guys to be able to say, hey, I'm ready to go on the big ride?
I really didn't ever want to ride thrill rides. I was just not ready, but my parents told me to, and I really liked them.
Yeah, pretty much the same thing for me, too.
So basically, you guys got bribed with money, and you went on, right?
No,
we dragged you kicking and screaming, you're going to do this.
Well, I didn't think they were going to be that bad, and my dad was going to be there, so.
Do you think that it's the anticipation of it that was the problem? Where you looked at, like, the Tower of Terror, and it had that massive building in front of it, and people screaming when the door opened, that scared you? And then when you finally got on it and you rode it, it was okay? Okay, well, that's cool. And for the parents, it was hard on us, getting them on that ride, because we didn't know what to anticipate, because they've never been on anything like that before.
Right. And you have to, you know, you have to judge or know your child, obviously, before you, you know, graduate up to the, you know, to the bigger rides. Can they handle it or not, you know? I mean, there's always that anticipation of the unknown for the, you know, for the first time, but then I think the rewards of that on most of the rides are, you know, they're great, and they're all safe, and everybody in the family can ride it. You know, that's the big thing about Disney is from 3 years old to, you know, to 103, you know, a lot of the rides and experience by anybody.
Yeah. Do you think that it was better to go on the ride first? And then that way you would know when that turn comes and when that drop comes. And this is when it goes upside down. Because I know when I had Hannah on the ride, I held her really tight. And I said, okay, here comes the big turn. Here comes, you're going down this hill really fast. And do you think that that helped out a lot just for the parents to get on there and get, you know, the tar scared out of them first, and then they could participate in the tar scaring of your children after that?
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I mean, I've done that before, you know. I think when we introduced Morgan to Everest, went with another family, and me and the dad rode it to see, you know, comparing it basically to Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. And I was, well, you know, that's not too bad. It's basically Thunder Mountain kind of on steroids, if you will. Mm-hmm. You know, hiked up, and I said, well, it could be, I think they can handle it. So, yeah, if you know, like I said, you know what your child can stand, what they like, what they do. But, you know, every child's different. So, yeah, I think if you have the opportunity, you know, there's, go to, you know, get books, go to the website, there's descriptions of the ride. You know, go to YouTube, there's a lot of videos of the ride.
Yeah, we did that before. That was actually really, really helpful.
Right. I mean, you don't feel the ride, obviously, but you can kind of, you know, experience it. You know, if you have a child that maybe, you know, sensitive to noise, you know, there are a few rides down there that are loud, and especially the Dinosaur comes to mind as one of the louder rides as you're going through. It's a dark ride and loud and lots of motion and stuff. So, yeah, so that's a good recommendation. You know, try it out first. You know, if you think, like I said, you know what your kid can handle, but like I said, you want to push him a little bit, you know, screaming and stuff, don't want to do that, you know, don't do that. I think we've seen a little boy that was, you know, wanting to ride Pirates of the Caribbean. And pretty much probably, well, he was about 7 or 8 or so. And, you know, he was didn't want to ride it, and he was, you know, crying. And his dad was kept trying to, come on, let's go. You know, you sure you don't want to do it? You sure? You know, all the rest of the family is going. And, you know, finally he just said, you know, okay, you know, the, I mean, child was, you know, pretty upset, didn't want to go. So he wound up, you know, not riding it with him.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was definitely trying to convince him and, you know, trying to reassure him that it was going to be okay. But so you just have to know your child.
Yeah, because all you need is your kid to be scared of pirates of the Caribbean for the rest of his life, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be a time where you guys can get on it and ride it together.
Right.
Might as well not freak them out when they're younger.
Right.
So if you girls had a piece of advice to kids that are your age or younger that hasn't ridden thrill rides yet, what would it be? Don't get bribed by your parents to go on the rides.
Yeah, if you don't want to go on it, tell your parents you don't want to go, and eventually they'll say, okay, well then we'll go sit over here. If you just keep on saying, no, I don't want to ride it, no, I don't want to ride it, after a while they'll give up.
What about you, Hannah? Any advice for...
I would say if you're ready for it, then just do it. But if you're not ready for it, then maybe have your parents ride it first and then go on it.
Cool. Or just definitely go and, you know, hang on to them. Like I said, you know, the time you ride the Tower of Terror, you know, the first time you ride Rock and Roll Roller Coaster, it's kind of like, you know, hang on, you're trying to reach over and make sure they're secure, you know.
Yeah.
I was the one doing the reaching, thank you very much.
Well, I've rode a few times with her, and I still, you know, want to make sure that, you know, make sure that safety latch is locked and nothing's, you know, going to happen. But
even though you know nothing's going to happen, it's still scary. Even if you want to ride it and you're just scared of it, scream your guts out.
Yeah, just close your eyes and, I mean, most of the rides, I mean, they're, you know, couple minutes tops, you know, and it's not going to last too long. It's going to be like, you know, 15, 20, 30 minutes or an hour, you know. It's, especially the thrill rides, last minute and a half, 2 minutes, so it's going to be over with.
That's a good piece of advice, too. If the kids scream their guts out,
yeah,
and they lose their voice, go right to the next thrill ride because you can't hear them. No big deal. Yeah. All right, Todd, what about your top three?
Okay, my top three thrill rides are probably number one, Tower of Terror. Really like that. I think that's for me personally, that's the ultimate thrill ride. Now, a little background on me, I'm not a big thrill ride person. I'm not a big roller coaster fan. You know, just never have. I do get motion sickness sometimes, so especially things that, you know, spin in circles. If I go around more than twice, I usually kind of get a little dizzy. You know, I'm probably one of the preeminent, you know, Disney customers, since I don't do the big roller coasters, you know, flip you upside down 3 and 4 or 5 times. I'm not a thrill seeker, so, you know, that's one of the reasons I love Disney so much, is there is enough thrill for me personally on most of these rides without, you know, subjecting me to all kinds of, you know, inverted loops and circles and stuff without making me, you know, sick. And that's, like I said, that's why I like Disney so much. And it was a long time before I started, you know, riding a lot of, you know, thrill rides, because basically I started off with Goofy's Barnstormer and then kind of graduated to Big Thunder Mountain Railroad and then going to something, you know, to like Everest. And, you know, it's been a long time I didn't ride Space Mountain or Rock and Roll Roller Coaster. And basically I still today just ride those if I ride them with the girls, if I have a choice. A lot of times I don't, you know, I'll bypass those. You know, so, you know, I'm just, me personally, I'm just not a, you know, big thrill seeker, but, you know, I do like the Tower of Terror, you know. I can, it doesn't spin, so I can have that one. And up and down doesn't bother me, but that's probably my favorite. It is my favorite thrill ride on property. Splash Mountain is probably number two. You know, there is one really thrilling moment, you know, for 3 or 4 seconds on the final drop, the 5-story drop at the end. But there are some smaller drops, you know, built into the ride. So, but I just like that. You know, I consider it a thrill ride, even though only, you know, the thrill lasts for, you know, 3 or 4 seconds. Thrill of water getting wet.
You never get wet.
I know.
Everybody, that's like a, there's some kind of, yeah, it must have some special, like, water repellent superpower.
I must have. So, yeah.
When you go on that, I've heard stories, like you were telling Kristen, like you were.
Yeah, I'm the one that always ends up wet. It doesn't matter where I sit, what seat I sit in. Front, back, middle, in the middle of two children, on the left side, the right side, I'm the one that always gets wet on that ride.
You had like a poncho on one time and it like went under the poncho, up in like a monsoon. The poncho on the outside was not wet, but underneath was completely wet.
It's like, oh, Kristen's on this ride.
They put out the special water hose underneath. They squirt up.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I always use a stay dry for some reason. I don't know why. I just do. So.
But when I go with some people, I never get wet.
You mean with us?
Yeah.
You must have your daddy's superpower or something, the repelling water.
But every time when I went with her, I get wet. Somewhat.
That's because it's spray off from me.
It's runoff from the water hose spraying there. Yeah.
So Splash Mountain is my number two thrill ride. Probably number three is Everest. You know, like I said, to me, that's about my limit on roller coasters. That's something I would, you know, really want to ride. Like I said, I do ride Rock and Roll Roller Coaster, and I'm getting better at riding that ride as well. So it's maybe moving up the chart a little bit. I can now ride it without keeping my without closing my eyes. Yeah. Because first time I rode it, kept my eyes closed per, you know, maybe half the ride.
Well, and then you missed the Yeti at the end, right?
Well, no, I'm in Rock and Roller Coaster.
Oh, Rock and Roller Coaster.
No, Everest I can do. I can't do it multiple times in a row. I've tried that before, and that's kind of made me a little sick.
That didn't turn out well.
No. So, it hasn't made me sick, but I've got close a couple times.
And maybe that should be a disclaimer, too, like a little asterisk on this whole entire episode, is the rides that we're talking about now, please don't eat chili dogs. Please don't eat french fries. Yeah. Please don't eat anything like half hour before because you're just asking for it.
Right. I mean, you can.
Is that inappropriate?
No.
Oh.
No. I think that's a good warning. Because you don't know who you're going to throw up on.
Yeah. Well, if they did it on you, it wouldn't matter if on Splash Mountain because you'd get washed off.
I would be washed off. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, you don't have to, you know, create that experience for yourself, you know, while you're in the park or somebody else or the poor cast members that have to deal with the aftermath and do the cleanup. So, but I like it. You know, I like Everest. Like I said, it incorporates the different aspects, you know, the moving backwards. You know, basically if that ride's in three different sections, the first, you know, section is pretty tame and you get to the top of the mountain and you go backwards and that, you know, basically your starts your thrill from there. And I think that's one of the most thrilling parts is the going backwards part. Because you know, it seems to me it's, you know, pretty steep and pretty tight helix going around, and you know, like to have a certain way I kind of hang on to you know, get through that part. Yeah. But then you go through the drop, you know, anticipation builds while the track changes, and you go down the big drop, and it's pretty exhilarating. And but I think what gets me is that going around, that you go down the drop, you go around in a circle, and that always seems to make me. You know, right before you go in to see the Yeti, that's the kind of part that gets me.
It's got some pretty heavy G's on that too.
It does. That's what, and like I said, since I, you know, do get motion sickness and going around in a circle, even, you know, like one loop, that's I can do it usually one time and that'd be, you know, that's it for my day. So.
Yeah. You know what a cool thing is, like a little tip. I don't know if you guys have ever done this before, but if you get at the top where it looks like the Yeti's ripped the track apart.
Yeah.
You know, concentrating on the top and all those flags and all that stuff. Uh-huh. If you just look behind you, uh-huh. like right when you get to the top, just look behind you. What's really cool is you can see the track switch.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can see it kind of flip over.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've ridden it, this is your first time riding it, don't do that.
Yeah.
But if you've ridden it a couple times and never experienced that, just kind of look behind you because that's pretty cool.
And you can also see it when you go back. At the end, with the backwards part, you stop and you get ready to go down the drop. You can also see that,
yeah.
that track switch as well. That's probably a little easier to see. You know, when you're facing forward, you can see that. But,
yeah, it is.
But just, you know, see, you know, some of the safety things that's built into the ride and stuff. And
so, Kristen, your turn. You're up to bat. Come on, knock it all apart.
Oh,
what's
yeah.
your top three thrill rides?
That's a funny thing.
Small world.
Main Street,
great movie.
Emporium, Mouse Gears,
Monorail.
I don't even do Monorail.
The bus.
So they would be probably Soarin'. Soarin's, to some people, it's not a thrill ride, but it is to me. It's my favorite ride there, if I could ride it. Chess Track. And I can't think of a third one because it certainly isn't Splash Mountain.
And if you stay dry, would you like the ride?
I mean, I like the ride. It's the mountain part I don't like. The splash part I don't like.
Okay, there you go.
So, however, Kristen doesn't ride thrill rides. She doesn't ride hardly any rides.
What about the safari ride?
I do ride the safari. It's a little bumpy, but I ride that. It's outdoors and I can breathe. I have a few anxiety issues with being closed in a space that I can't get out of. And
You used to ride.
I used to ride them. I've ridden all these rides they're talking about, and I don't care for Rock and Roller Coaster. It takes my breath away and I can't breathe. Not to mention trying to make sure my daughter's backpack is closed between my feet and everything's not spilling out as we go upside down.
That sounds like a story.
Yeah, the first time we rode it, she, right before the ride takes off, hands me her backpack and says, "Can you put this between your feet?" And so I throw it there and the ride takes off and all that's going through my mind is that thing closed or not?
It was.
It was. Everything stayed in it. But, you know, the whole ride, I'm clenching my feet together for dear life, hoping I'm not losing everything in it.
And that's a good tip. And some of the rides, you know, they do have the pouches, you know, so put secure things that you may lose: backpacks, fanny packs, hats, you know, glasses, things of that nature, sunglasses. I mean, normal regular glasses. I've wore glasses before, and those rides, you know, usually, you know, there's enough G's on them, and they're, you know, that they won't come off. But, you know, some of the rides, you may, you know, lose your hat and stuff like that. Stuff is not really secure if you don't push your head back against the up against the headrest. But, or if you have other people in your party that's not, you know, going to be riding, just, you know, if you can bribe them and have them hold your stuff.
Or as you're going onto the ride, it's more like, here, hold this, and they dump everything on you.
Yeah, we're going to go on this ride, and say, here, hold this. Okay.
Yeah, so you're carrying two purses, a fanny pack, a backpack, three hats, you know.
Kristen, you're a designated holder for stuff that goes on the ride. So.
Yes. Since I no longer do very many rides, that's what I do.
So let's dive into that a little bit more, because there's got to be more people out there that just don't like them, don't ever want to ride them. What do you do
shops, I do shopping, I walk around, I sit and people watch. That absolutely is the most interesting thing you'll ever see at Disney, is sit around and watch the people. It's amazing. Some of the things they wear, some of the things they do, some of the things they say. It's amazing.
So give us a couple of juicy stories.
You're walking through Epcot and you walk into France and the 3-year-old daughter is walking through the fountain. And why do you let your kid walk through the fountain? And the parents are just sitting on the bench watching the kid walk through the fountain. I mean, I just don't understand why you would let your kid do that. Or the same fountain, the probably 1 to 2-year-old that was ready to take a nosedive because the parents weren't even paying attention and he was trying to get the coins out of it. And, you know, or the lady with the white skirt and the white dress.
Did she get in the fountain too?
No. She didn't need to. You could still see through everything.
So maybe she just should have done a wardrobe check before
exactly.
she went out.
Exactly. There's just some things some people should not wear.
So maybe that is a thrill ride. You sit there and watch the kid trying to get money for their mama's Grand Marnier at France out of the fountain.
Exactly. It's very interesting to sit and just people watch. But, you know, especially at Epcot, you can go through the countries. You can find all kinds of little nooks and crannies that you didn't realize were there.
Sometimes you can find things like Japanese crabs that you make your husbands eat too, right?
Exactly. It's very fascinating. Yeah. You can find all kinds of things that you can con your husbands into doing.
Yeah.
Reference to episode 2A.
Yeah.
or making, spend their money.
Hey.
You know, it's that's what I do. I just people watch and...
But something you may want to kind of talk about is your experience on... Mission Space. And Disney does a good job about, you know, putting warnings out through before you get on the ride, you know, motion sickness, you know, people with heart conditions, back problems, women that may be expecting, you know, do take heed to those warnings.
Yes, do. And don't think, oh, I can handle it, because if you have any kind of problem whatsoever, I would strongly advise not to do it. I'm very claustrophobic. I always have been. And as we were waiting for the easy thing for Mission Space, they were telling us you know, they were doing the little announcement over, if you're claustrophobic, you might not want to do this, yada, yada, if you have heart problems, whatever.
This is about three or four years ago?
Yeah, before all the other issues.
Before the other anxiety stuff started.
I thought, no, it can't be that bad. It's Disney. I know it's safe. It can't be that bad. So as soon as we got on the little in the little car and we sat down, as soon as those two doors on each side closed, it was over for me. I just couldn't even breathe. And then the screen moves forward, enclosing the space even more. I just couldn't even do it. So I immediately grabbed the paper bag that they have in there for if you get motion sickness, and I start breathing into the bag. And Todd looks at me and says, wait a minute, the ride hasn't even started. You can't be getting sick yet. And I didn't want to freak Morgan out, so I just said, I'm fine, and I'm breathing in the bag, and had them.
No, you said, shut up, Todd.
Shh, Morgan. And if those bags hadn't been there, I probably would have passed out, and they would have been calling EMS when we got off the ride. It was that bad, and so... Please take heed to the
warning. If you're claustrophobic, don't
ride Mission Space for sure.
I think if you're a lot of things, don't ride Mission Space, especially the orange one. Because I remember that when it first came out and they didn't have orange and green. You know, green is the one where it doesn't actually spin like and gives you the G forces. It just kind of tilts.
Which is the one we were on.
The one we were on. Yeah. And still, we'll do that, give you some sense, so, but not just not the, like I said, the spinning.
Yeah, the guy was, I guess they did like a cast member opening, soft opening before they introduced it to the public, and he said, all they want to do is just spin you around and make you puke on that ride. And I swear, if you get on a ride and it has a puke bag, you might be in the wrong place. Because I don't get sick that easy, and put on that ride. I mean, I came off of it. It was like those carnival rides, like the spiders that go around and around and around. And you just get out. You're disoriented and you feel all sick. So,
you know, don't want to ruin your vacation. You know, pay all this money to go down and have a good time, whether you're there for, you know, one day or 8 days. You know, it doesn't matter. It's not really worth getting sick just to ride a ride, I don't think.
I don't either.
And that's not the only ride that can make you sick, though.
No, a lot of them can. And even, like Todd said, the Everest, he rode Everest twice in a row. I had ridden it the one time with them, and it kind of set me off balance. And then he rode it twice the next time, and it can set you off balance. It just depends upon, I guess it depends upon the person. It depends upon a lot of things, but don't make yourself sick just so you can say, I rode Everest, or I rode Mission Space, or I rode the teacups. I mean, don't make yourself sick for it. It's not worth it.
Yeah, just gauge yourself, I guess, in the rides. That's cool. So,
and parents, if your kid says, I don't want to ride it, don't force them, because they may have some of these, you know, maybe claustrophobic, that don't like to be in closed spaces that you're not really aware of, or... if they're scared to death, all you're going to do is make it worse. So don't force yourself, or don't force someone else to ride it. You know, like Morgan and Hannah will sometimes say, well, if you ride this, I'll ride that. And that's all well and good if they're really willing to ride it. But, you know, I've always told Morgan, don't force your friend to ride it if they don't want to ride it, because that's not fair to them.
Well, and once the little safety bars come down, Tinkerbell will not come and pluck you off that ride.
They will not pluck you off that ride.
Yeah, so you're stuck. Yeah. So Becky, what's your three favorite thrill rides?
My first one would be Test Track. What it was, I guess you'd say. Don't know what it's going to be, but I love going around in the last part really fast in the car. My next one would be Rock and Roller Coaster. Just because it's fast, and I like the music, I like the takeoff. And my last one, it's not really a roller coaster, but it's a tie between Haunted Mansion and Peter Pan, but I will say Haunted Mansion. I just think it's neat to go in there and see all the stuff that's inside. Those are my top three.
That's cool. But you got, going back to being sick, just because this is an inappropriate podcast not to listen to at dinner.
Yes.
You got on Tower of Terror one time and it messed you up, right? I mean, you're not too averted to thrill rides, but that did kind of mess your whole day up. disoriented you a little bit, right?
Yeah. We set her back a whole day.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the third time I've ridden it. And because it's different every single time, this time I don't remember seeing the outside at all. And I couldn't figure out if we were going up or down. And it, I just got really motion sick, really bad. And that was the end of me for the rest of the day.
Yeah. You missed the Osborne lights that night,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll just have to go back.
Oh, darn. Such a tragedy.
There again, it's just not worth it. It's not worth ruining your whole day, and you miss out on things. And who really wants to be sick in their hotel room? I mean, yeah, sometimes you want to just go to your hotel room and relax, but if you're going to have to go back to your hotel room and be sick, who wants to be sick?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You have a choice. I mean, a choice or not a choice, there's different things to, you know, go back to your room for.
I will never ride that ride again, even if someone promises me a pony. We'll never.
$1 million.
No.
$1 million.
Well.
one day worth being sick. But it is. I've been in there a few times, you know, especially when you're in there and you're waiting for it to go. You don't know if it's going to go up or down. You know, sometimes, you know, takes me a few seconds to figure out, well, did we go up or did we go down?
Yeah.
The other two times that I had ridden it, you could very clearly see the doors open and you could see outside, and then they would close and I could figure out where I was, but not this last time. It was yucky.
So I guess it's all left to me.
Yep.
What's your top three thrill rides at Walt Disney World?
Number one is PhilharMagic, because that cake smell, it's thrilling. And then anything at Germany and where there's original is, get a piece of caramel, that's thrilling. Or Mexico, climb to the top of that pyramid, and then when they get you down with tasers, that's thrilling. Now, I guess it's the same old ones you guys were talking about. I really like Rock and Roller Coaster, not only because of the ride and going upside down and you're inside and enclosed, but it's the theming of it, too. A lot of these things from the beginning when you get walk in on the red carpet of G-Force Records to when you go in, you see the microphones, and you go in and you see Aerosmith, and they're getting in there, and they give everybody backstage passes, and you got to get a stretch limo. You go into the garage, and then that first takeoff that's really fast. I love all of that stuff. Probably the second one, I think the second one is Everest, and it's much the same reason what you're talking about, Todd. As you get in there, it's fast, but it's different. It's not like a linear coaster. It's not like you get on there and you go straight. You get on there and you're kind of going. Well, the coolest part, I think, about that ride is you can tell the people that have ridden that just for the first time, mm-hmm. because they get there and they start going up the hill, and they do that nice little gentle fall down, and they're all going,
yeah, that's why I love it. I can handle this.
Yeah, then all of a sudden they get smacked in the head by the Yeti. You know, when they're going backwards and they take that drop, I think that's really, really cool. The theming of that queue, too, is awesome.
Oh, yes,
it is. If you go through the Fast Pass one, you don't get as much of the theming. But if you go through the actual queue line, that's almost worth just being in there for 40 minutes or whatever. Then I think the third one is kind of nostalgic. Either it'd be something like Space Mountain or Big Thunder Mountain, which it isn't the big thrills. I think it's more nostalgia. Like Space Mountain always kind of gets me, even though it's only going like 25 miles an hour or 30 miles an hour. I love just going through there and it being dark and seeing the chocolate chip cookie dough, like in the top where it's spinning around and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think it's really, really cool. I like those. I think that's my top three thrills. And I guess it's a little lame at the end, but I kind of like the thrill, the old-fashioned type thrill of Space Mountain, Big Thunder. I think it's really cool. And Big Thunder is cool now since they did the refurb. Got kind of like the canyon and the steam all working.
Right.
I think that's...
I've done some work on it. It looks very good.
Yeah. And then I'm also waiting for Avatar. I know there's something that's going to be in Avatar that I'm going to love.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, Animal Kingdom could use a big thrill ride to help the crowd, so I'm sure that they will be putting something.
Yeah. So anybody else got anything to add about thrill rides before we close up our whole entire series of thrilling episodes? Nothing?
No. Yeah. Just take a chance. Like I said, I'm the poster boy for, you know, thrill rides. Like I said, I do get motion sickness, and, you know, I was very apprehensive. about riding, you know, stuff. But I took a chance. And, you know, said, I'm getting better on Rock and Roll Roller Coaster. And I first did it because I had a lady at work that, you know, she rode it and liked it. And at the time, she had, you know, she was diagnosed with cancer. Uh-huh. And, you know, she said, we always discuss Disney things on, you know, her trips and our trips when we go down. And that was one of her favorite rides. You know, she loved it. And I told her, well, I don't do thrill rides. I don't like it, you know. And she said, oh, you got to try it. And then, you know, just talking to her, and finally, that's what really actually got me to ride it is, you know, I promised her that I would do that.
Oh, that's cool.
And, you know, I thought about it. I said, well, I mean, you got these little kids, you know, 4 or 5 that are getting off the ride, and they come back, and they're surprised, and they leave. So.
Were you looking at the kid loss ratio on this ride?
Exactly.
Every 5 rides that go out, at least one kid drops off of it.
Exactly, yeah.
End up in some net somewhere.
Yeah. So, and I said, well, you know, these little kids, they're not crying or screaming their heads off when they get off the ride, you know. Well, me, you know, 30, 35 years old, you know, I guess I could try it.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I said, I promised her I would, and it was, you know, person of word, so, you know, I did it. You know, I was there with Morgan. They were helping me. And like I said, the first time I rode it, you know, I was grabbed all of them as tight as I could to their strengths and pulling them back to me. And like I said, you know, after the launch, I was, you know, closing my eyes and didn't do the loop, you know, had them closed and, you know, half the other part of it.
There's no looking back after that. Right?
No, I mean, like I said, once you pull those, you know, down, they're not going to let you off. You know, it's going to be, I mean, unless somebody was obviously, you know, getting very violently sick or something like that, you know,
yeah,
or having a seizure or something like that. But you know, that's, you know, I did it. Like I said, I'll do it more, and I ride with Morgan since Kristen, you know, doesn't ride rides. So I'm getting better. Still, it's not one of my favorite rides, but I can ride it. But, you know, I think it owed it all to Jody to get me to ride that ride. And like I said, I did it for her, and it was great that. Usually don't buy the photos of the ride, but in this case I did. And I bought the photo of me riding the ride, and I took it back to her and showed her. And I remember actually took her, she was in the hospital when it got back. And so, you know, took it to show her the photo and gave her a photo of it. And so,
that's,
you know,
cool.
I did this, you know, I did it for you, and, you know, kind of thanked her and stuff. So it's kind of a real life story. So,
yeah. So is she doing all right now?
Well, I mean, no, she has passed away from cancer.
Wow.
But you know, that's something that, you know, I had something, you know, to bond with her over. And, you know, like I said, she's the one who got me to do that, and, you know, I thank her for that.
Yeah, that's cool.
So
that's really cool. Well, I guess that concludes everything. But we really, really want to thank all of the people that's been downloading our episodes. It's kind of making us feel pretty good that people are interested in what we have to say about Disney. And we just thank everybody that's out there listening. And please, if you've got anything you'd like to hear, any comments, any questions, we'd be happy to get with you, talk with you, chat with you, give you some advice, help you out wherever we can. All of our contact information, our Facebook page, Twitter feed, our phone, and email address is all in the show notes, so you can reference that. But again, I want to thank everybody that's here doing the podcast, and I hope you enjoy the episode. So,
and don't forget our contest. We still have a few more weeks of our contest. So go back to episode 1 and look at our contest.
Yeah.
And
get yourself a gift card, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Make your next Disney vacation or visit to the Disney store a little bit more special. We'll give you a little free money and help you out.
Exactly. So we do follow us on Twitter and on Facebook.
Yeah. And then get in contact with us. We'd love to hear from you and your thoughts and your comments to us. So. Thanks, everybody, for joining in on the podcast today. And next time, we're going to go into traveling down to Disney and giving us some tips and tricks and things that maybe not make you go crazy on the way down to actually
get there. And while you're there, too.
Yeah, that too.